When the United States invaded Iraq 20 years ago this week, some Pentagon officials talked of a bombing campaign that would cause shock and awe. Some opening salvos lit the night sky over Baghdad. This morning, we have voices of people who experienced that bombardment from the air and on the ground. Retired U.S. Air Force pilot Steve Ankerstar was flying a Nighthawk stealth fighter jet over the city that night.
It became real as soon as I'm next to Baghdad, and it's really pretty dark. But I'm looking at my watch, and I'm counting down to 9 p.m. exactly Baghdad time, and that's when all these, you know, the first, I think, 300 to 400 cruise missiles are supposed to hit. And looking out the window, just boom, 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 all over Baghdad, you see these explosions, and you see the return fire.
Shema Khalil was a teenager at the time, living in Baghdad with her family.
I never saw this before. All the time I saw, like, the sky in Baghdad, clear, pure, nice blue. But at that time, it's really like action movies. For me, it's really scary experience.
Ankerstar and Khalil agreed to join us to talk about their different experiences of that same night.
Hi, Shema. I'm Steve.
Hi, Steve. Can you describe the first time you shoot targets in Baghdad? And do you fully know that there are no civilians close to the places that you targeted?
My targets were a command center and then a command bunker. I flew in, was able to hit both of those successfully, and then head back home. I would assume that these facilities were operational, and I would assume that, of course, if they're operational, there's going to be people in them. So I wasn't naive to that. Shema, what I would like to ask you, I can't really even imagine what it was like being on the ground during any of the attack, let alone being on the ground as a teenager during that time. So what was your perspective that night, and were you in proximity to any of the explosions, or what can you share from your experience?
I will never forget that night because we were living in a place surrounded by different government buildings. So there is like many bombings close to our area. We were living like in the fourth level in the building, and my mom and dad trying to keep us together and calm down us and said, we will go downstairs. It was really crowded on the stairs because all the people pushing each other, they just want to survive and go downstairs before something happened. So we found a small park. It's close to our building, and we sat on the ground all together. We tried to close our eyes, close our ears. When the bombing happens, I remembered I lost hearing for 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
Certainly, I couldn't even imagine that experience on the ground. And the intention of the U.S. plan was targeting the Iraqi military forces. And I can totally empathize with the feeling of there's you know, no place to hide and no place to feel safe when you're under that kind of attack.
When the U.S. asked you to join the war of 2003, were there any doubts? And did you think about the consequences?
Well, yes, we thought about that quite a bit as we were asked to go forth and do our portion of the mission. Yeah, I can only speak for myself, but at that time as a service member, it was apparent to me that we did need to go in and remove Saddam Hussein from power. How we did that and the expectations of not only disabling the Iraqi military forces, but how the Iraqi people were going to accept us after that, I don't think that was necessarily thought through as much as it could have.
It's hard. I know that you are part of the operation and you follow the orders or the instructions. But I know this is something bigger than me and you, but we didn't expect that U.S. will do this to us because the country was already weak and need help. And they came and they throw us down the hill. We were expecting George Bush or anyone in the government who had the decision to start the war to apologize to Iraqi people. No one say this.
Well, I appreciate that perspective. So I can't speak for the U.S. government, but certainly I think the lessons are being learned, even if not being, you know, outwardly acknowledged, if you will, to the Iraqi people. Are you hopeful that things are going to be better in 20, 30 years from now between U.S. and Iraqi relations, or are you pessimistic in that so much damage has been done that there might not be a good way forward in the future?
I think I have hope. Because if you don't have hope, we can't live. So as much as we can open spaces for learning from each other, talking to each other, I think this will make change.
I certainly agree, Shema, that I'm also hopeful that things improve between U.S.-Iraqi relations over time. And I agree that communicating people's experiences and feelings and then drawing lessons from both of those will be worth it, not only to repair the damage that has been done, but also to be useful as a case study for the future. So even though, you know, what happened 20 years ago can't be undone, certainly the learning from it and moving forward as our two countries work together to make things better. I agree with you.
Thank you so much, Steve. And thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing about your experience in Iraq.
Yes, thank you as well, Shema. I really appreciated talking with you, and best of luck.
Okay, wow. Where else do you hear conversations like that? Steve Ankerstar retired from the Air Force as a lieutenant colonel, now runs his own financial advising firm. Shema Khalil moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota in 2019 and is now the operations director for the Iraqi and American Reconciliation Project.